This is Ben Settle, and today I'm interviewing direct response copywriter and marketing specialist Ryan Healy about how to fill up your seminars and conferences in record-breaking time, even if they cost as much as $1,000, $2,000, even $3,000 or more. Ryan has helped some of the biggest seminar, conference, and workshop promoters on the planet pack their seminars wall-to-wall with paying, happy clients. A couple of his clients include Alex Mendosian and even Pulte Holmes. Now, these were not cheap seats either. In fact, one of the seminars sold for well over $2,000 a pop, and that's not including food, airfare, and travel expenses. In this interview, Ryan's going to show you how he did it and why you can do the same thing for your own seminars, even if you don't consider yourself a good copywriter or have never marketed a seminar before. Ryan, are you there?
I am here.
Let's start with pricing. You know, how does someone price their seminar for maximum revenue?
It really depends on the goal the person has who's holding the seminar and what style of seminar they're going to have. There are a few different styles of seminars. Like, one type might be where you're trying to get more people there because you're selling products from the stage. But another type of seminar, you might just want, say, 10 or 20 people for a small workshop type of event. And so depending on the type of event, you're going to have to price it differently. In a smaller setting where you're interacting more with the people who are attending, you would want to price that higher. But if your goal is to get more people in and then sell them products from the stage, you would want to price that lower. Not too low, because you obviously want people at your event who have money to spend, but there's kind of a relationship there. It just really depends on your goal for the seminar.
What about free seminars? Is there a strategy for if you wanted to do a free seminar just because you wanted to maybe have a higher back end? Do you recommend that?
Yeah. In my experience, people do free seminars usually on a local basis rather than doing some national event where they're pulling people from all over. You wouldn't do something like that for free, but let's say you have some presentation or seminar that you want to give at 10 major cities in the U.S., and you can't really pick the day where most people can attend. You just pick the day. So you're going to hit this city, and then the next city, and then the next city, and the next city. What you do is you make it free and send out large mailings within that local area, and because it's free, you'll get more people attending on that one date. And it's just different because people will oftentimes bend over backwards to get to something free like that where there's a lot of quality information. Even if they have a conflict, they might consider clearing their calendar. But if you send out a mailer and say, hey, we're going to be there in 2 weeks, and they have a conflict, and you say, oh, and by the way, it costs $2,000, chances are they're not going to show up.
So that would probably be a good strategy for maybe a local dentist or accountant or something who just wants to get some good leads.
Yeah, definitely. If you're a service provider and you want to get leads, you could do like a 2-hour presentation or 4-hour, like a half-day workshop. I know of another copywriter up in Canada who started his career that way, and he would just do these half-day presentations, and he would do them once a week. I mean, he got totally booked up within, I think, just a couple of weeks. I mean, and then the businesses that were around where he was doing these workshops, I mean, they even profited from the people that he was bringing in. So, yeah, it's just a free thing is definitely more like to do on a local level.
When would you suggest someone start marketing their seminar?
Again, it really depends on the event that you're holding. If you're doing something where people have to book tickets and book hotel rooms, and perhaps you've negotiated special room rates with the hotel, well, then you're going to need to give your attendees much more lead time than if you're doing a local event. So in general, with a large national type of event where people are going to have to fly, you want to give them at least 6 weeks. People will register really, sometimes really close to the event, but to get the maximum attendance, you want to give at least 6 weeks. And there's one seminar promoter I know who's had very, very consistent success. He starts often 5 months ahead. And what he does is he offers steep discounts for the early birds to get in. I mean, he doesn't do real heavy promotion that early, but he kind of starts dripping on his list and starts saying, hey, by the way, here are the dates. Block it on your calendar. And then, hey, register now. You can save $1,000 on this seminar seat. And then, you know, he may wait a few weeks, and then here's your last chance, and then wait a month, and then really start pouring on the heat. Whereas like a local event, especially if it's free, I mean, you could give 2 or 3 weeks notice, and that's fine.
What are some differences between a sales letter for selling a book or a service as opposed to writing a sales letter for an event or a seminar?
There are going to be a couple of copy elements that will be unique to your letter. One is if you have speakers showing up, you want to include speaker profiles, you know, a photo of the speaker, and then information about what they'll be talking on. And the same is true if it's just you. I mean, if it's just you who's presenting, you still want to have a speaker profile of yourself, a picture of yourself, maybe a caption underneath, and so forth. If it's applicable, you want to have hotel and travel information. Where's the hotel you're staying? Are there any special deals? And if there are, what's the code? Oftentimes, you know, you call a hotel and you have to say, hey, I'm with this group, and you get some special group rate. And then, obviously, you want to include the dates of the event, because people want to know up front before they register, am I free? I mean, do I have a scheduling conflict? They have to know the dates. So speaker profiles, hotel and travel information, and then dates of the event. So those are three unique things that simply must be included in a seminar letter.
One of the things that you teach is there's a psychological reason why people even attend seminars and conferences in the first place. And if you know what that is, you can profit for it hand over fist. And what are some ways people can tap into that?
There are a couple of big reasons people attend seminars and live events. The obvious thing was the educational aspect of seminars. I mean, most people do talk about that, but I think it's a mistake to only talk about the educational value of a live event. One of the main reasons people are going to come is simply for the experience. In your marketing and in the copy, you want to focus on the experience and what it's going to look like. I mean, obviously you can't say exactly what a person's experience is going to be, but you can generalize in the copy. Say, you know, when you arrive, you'll first learn about this, or you'll meet this people. You can talk about, you can actually walk through the schedule as if the person was there already and kind of get them thinking about themselves being in the room and being at the live event and what that'll feel like, what it'll look like. So that's one key thing to focus on. Another key thing to focus on is networking and relationships. People oftentimes will go to events because they want to meet other like-minded people. They want to network with them, perhaps pick up some clients, perhaps find some joint venture partners, build relationships with people. Maybe they meet somebody and they decide to start a mastermind group after the event. So I think that's something to always focus on when you're doing a live event.
You're getting sort of into the deeper level there, the unspoken benefits that people don't maybe talk about, but they're thinking it. They're feeling these things inside.
Right.
Okay, and then if you just talk about it in your ads, you're just increasing your chances of getting more people to sign up automatically.
Right. And then also with the educational value, a lot of times people are real generic about what people are going to learn at the event. And the reason why is because they're not really sure what words are going to come out of their mouth when they're up on stage. And if they've invited speakers, it's often really hard to get the speakers to commit to what they're going to be saying from the stage. They might say, well, I'm thinking about this presentation, or maybe I'm thinking about this one. I might do one or the other, or I might do this but kind of modify a little bit. So what happens is the seminar promoters and people who organize these things, they're real hesitant to put any concrete promises in the letter. Well, that's something that you can do that will really give you an advantage, is to write real specific bullets about what people are going to learn. When you come here, you're going to learn this. Boom, 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 boom. But the thing is if you make those promises, you have to make sure you cover those bullets at the event. It's a little extra work, but it's worth it. I advise people to always go the extra mile to commit to delivering certain information and making those promises in the letter and then actually delivering it at the event.
One of the things that I remember you teach is if there's other speakers there, don't you have them write their own bullet points?
Yep, that's one way that I've used to make sure that we're promising what is actually going to be said, is to get the speakers to write the bullets themselves. And you'll get varying results with this. Okay, I did this, and we basically sent out a form, and it said, like, to all the speakers, and it said, you know, what's the title of your presentation? Give us your bio in three sentences or less. So you can have the title and then like a short little bio, and then here's what you're going to learn, and then write at least three bullets about your presentation. And oftentimes they might write five bullets or six bullets or just three. Sometimes the bullets were just horrible and I had to rewrite them, but at least I had the information, like the foundational stuff, so it was pretty easy to rewrite. And if the speaker is good at writing, oftentimes you won't have to modify the bullets at all.
Of all the elements of the advertising when you're promoting your own seminars, what's the thing that everyone must know about when they're writing their own ads for their own seminars?
First, you need to be able to write the ad in a compelling way. I mean, obviously the headline is going to be really critical to the success of the advertisement and how differentiating your event from other events. We live in a day and age where people have figured out that seminars can be very profitable, and so more and more of them are just cropping up all the time, and you need to have a unique hook, a unique angle, or something that's different about your event to get people to pay attention to you. So I think that's really important. But in addition to the advertising materials, I think it's critical to have a list or an audience, you know, somebody who cares about what you have to say. I mean, it's one thing to go to InfoUSA and go, okay, we want a list of people who make this income and they live in this area and they got two kids and blah, blah, blah. You can do like demographics-based lists, but that's never going to produce as well as a list that you've built a relationship with, or even somebody else's list that they've built a relationship with, and perhaps they're willing to promote your event to their list for a piece of the profits. So either way, I think that that is kind of a foundational thing. Like, who's your audience? Who are you going to get there, and how are you going to reach them? The letter comes after all that. You know, if you don't have anybody to send a letter to, well, you don't really need a letter yet. I had this woman call me, and she's like an accountant, and she does a lot of stuff with QuickBooks, and very knowledgeable gal. She sounds like an expert in her field. Well, she had decided that she wanted to do these seminars kind of all across the country teaching people about QuickBooks. And I said, well, that's great. You know, let's figure out how to do this. And I started asking her questions and what her goals were and who she was going to mail to. And she's like, well, I have this one list I rented, and I might have wasted my money, and it's just business owners in this particular area in California. That's okay. You know, it's a demographics-based kind of list, and they don't know you from anybody. You send them something, and it's kind of like, well, who's this person? Why should I go? I mean, it's a cold lead, essentially. Well, then I started saying, well, do you have any products that you sell, or do you just do accounting stuff? Well, all she'd done was the service-based thing. So I said, well, why not create a couple of Camtasia videos, which is just like a screen capture video of your computer? Why not do that and just create some training videos that people can purchase from you, say for $20 or $49 or whatever, and then solve a couple of their real critical problems that they're having with QuickBooks. Like maybe you create three different video products in a week and start selling them. Well, now you've got a list of people that you can talk to. They've spent money with you, and now you can communicate with them by email or get their physical mailing address and send them a letter, and they've already expressed interest in your area of expertise. So it's not going to be nearly as hard to get them to attend a live event because they've already qualified themselves. They have money. They're willing to spend it to solve a certain problem. And now you can say, well, hey, you did this and solved this problem. Well, come to this live event and we'll solve all these problems all at once. The bottom line with this lady is I essentially talked her out of doing a seminar because that really wasn't the best first step for her to take. I mean, she would have really had to struggle to fill up seminars at this point. Just going with cold prospects and just doing these very poorly targeted mailings to all these businesses, assuming that they would have an interest in accounting.
What are some other ways that someone can monetize a seminar they're putting on besides just the upfront fees?
Once you have people in a room and they've paid money to be there and they've expressed interest in the topic that you're covering, they probably, at the end of the event, will still want to know even more. I mean, there's only so much information that you can cover in 4 hours or 8 hours, however long your event is. So it can be very profitable to have products there, perhaps some books, perhaps some home study courses, perhaps consulting type deals, whatever, where people can purchase those before they leave your seminar. And oftentimes, if you do it right, you'll make a lot more money off the back of the room sales than you will on the fees that you collected up front. And then one other way to make money is to hire a video crew or a film crew to come in and videotape the entire live event. And if you have a list of people, obviously only a percentage of them will register for your live event and come. I mean, the others may have scheduling conflicts or financial difficulties. They can't pay the fee to get there, or they can't afford the plane ticket and whatnot. Well, if you record the event, then you can go back to all those people who didn't come and market the DVDs to them and sell those for, say, half of what the event cost. Plenty of people will pay $500 for a complete DVD set of a live event.
A lot of people like to use the internet to help market their seminars. One big emerging tool would be blogs. There's certain people who are able to use blogs to drive hundreds, even thousands of people into a seminar, and there's some people who just struggle. They can't seem to make it work. So what are some ways to leverage a blog to get your audience emotionally engaged so they're more likely to register?
Well, a blog is kind of cool because people can subscribe to it, and then every time you post, they'll automatically be notified, and if they're interested in what you're writing about, they'll come to the blog and check it out. So what you can do is you can kind of feed the sales pitch in chunks to your list. So instead of giving them, you know, one long sales pitch and saying, you know, hey, go read this, well, you can kind of drip it on them a little piece at a time. And what that does is it breaks it down into bite-sized chunks so that they're more likely to read everything, but it also kind of builds anticipation because you're saying, hey, there's going to be this event and here are the dates, and then you start telling them about the event and what's going to happen and why they should be there and all this kind of stuff. So that's one way to get them emotionally engaged. So instead of like having just a one-time shot where you send them to a sales letter, you're getting multiple chances. If they don't come in on post number one, maybe they come in on post number two, or maybe they read post number one but skip number two and come back on number three. So you have like multiple chances to pull them into the sales process. There are a couple of techniques that my clients have used with very, very good success. For example, blogs have an interactive feature. People can leave comments and start a dialogue with you. So there are certain things that you can do to encourage your readers to begin leaving comments and telling you what they want. And then when they tell you what they want, it's a lot easier for you to provide it. And when you provide it, it makes it a lot easier to close the deal because you're giving them exactly what they told you they wanted through your blog. So that's kind of the dynamic that's happening on a blog. And you can kind of step that up a little bit even more with a couple of other strategies.
When it comes to collecting the registration fee, especially on the Internet, is there a strategy behind that?
I mean, you should always collect the fee as soon as you can. The earlier the better, because usually you're going to have some expenses. I mean, they might be minor, but you'll have some expenses in putting together a seminar. So you want to cover those as early on in the process as you can. And you also want to have your seats filled up before the deadline. Nobody likes to be 5 days away from an event and still have half the room not filled. But kind of depends on the pricing that you have for your seminar. If the price of the seminar is lower, it's going to be easier to collect that fee just online through a website or through, say, an order form. But the higher the fee, the more likely it is that they're going to want to talk to somebody before they part with their money. If you have a $3,000 seminar, very few people are just going to fork over $3,000 before talking to somebody. With a live event, there's almost always some question somebody has. Well, what about this or what about that? And then once they get that one objection answered, they're ready to register. And I think, too, that just paying thousands of dollars over the Internet can be kind of scary for people. So at some point, you have to take the sale offline.
So anybody who's actually going to promote an expensive high-ticket seminar, they might as well just expect that they're going to end up talking to at least 99% of the people who end up attending.
Right. Either they will, or perhaps a sales team, or perhaps, you know, somebody that they've hired to handle those calls. I've worked with a number of people, and it's like clockwork. Once you get above a certain threshold, people want to talk to a live person. If it's lower, hundreds of dollars, okay, fine. You can fill up a seminar right over the Internet. Never have to talk to anybody.
You have some ways where you're able to almost guarantee that a seminar, conference, or workshop is going to be filled with high-quality people who have way more money than just the registration fee, people who are going to want to keep spending money at the back of the room. How do you do that? And maybe are there some tips you have on how to generate those kind of leads as opposed to just people who are on a strict budget?
People who have already attended seminars, conferences, and workshops, those are the people who are most likely to attend more seminars, conferences, and workshops in the future. I mean, if you can reach people who have already proven themselves by spending money and buying plane tickets to get to a seminar, if you can get a list of those people, it's going to be like shooting fish in a barrel getting them to show up at your seminar, especially if it's in the same kind of market. I mean, obviously, you're not going to want to go get a list of people who've paid to attend to some gun show and you're doing accounting stuff. I mean, it just doesn't work. You could look at, say, personal development. I mean, there are a lot of different topics or specialties or niches within personal development. But if you can find a list of people or get access to a list of people who've spent money to go to a personal development seminar and market to them, well, then that's easy. I mean, you can look at, say, you know, T. Harv Eker. He does live events. that have to do with personal development and money and stuff like that. Well, so does Anthony Robbins, and so does Wayne Dyer, I think. And then, like, Mark Victor Hansen and Robert Allen, and maybe you aren't able to get access to these people, but that's just kind of some of the higher profile names that you might recognize. And they're all kind of related. I mean, I bet that they would have some synergy among themselves if they ever decided to talk to each other. And maybe they do. I don't know.
Maybe you could set up joint ventures with other people where they maybe get a cut. Do people do that?
Yeah, I mean, you could go in and say, hey, I'll give you X percentage of every registration fee that we get from your list. Basically, that's like an affiliate commission, and you can, there are a lot of affiliate programs out there that'll track that kind of stuff for you. Another way is simply to pay a fee, like one flat fee to rent the list. Maybe it's on a price per thousand type of deal, but you pay so many dollars per thousand subscribers that you get access to. And whether you generate any sales or not, you still have to pay that money. Oftentimes in a situation like that, the list owner will send out the promotion himself. So you actually won't send it. You'll just supply the copy. And they'll send it themselves and say, hey, here's a message from so-and-so that you might be interested in.
So let's imagine someone's listening to this and they want to promote their seminar, but they've never written a word of sales copy in their life. What would you suggest?
I would suggest sitting down and writing out all the benefits of attending your event. And I would also sit down and write out all the objections people might have to attending your event. And then I would go about building a headline that promises something. You know, what are they going to get by attending the event? And then kind of flesh out that promise in the copy, talk about the benefits of attending, what they're going to learn. And then I would also try to weave in there overcoming objections. And sometimes it's as simple as doing it in an FAQ format. Frequently asked questions, and the questions can be the objections themselves, like a statement followed by a question like, I have a scheduling conflict, what should I do? And then you can overcome that objection. Or, the seminar is too expensive for me, do you have any other options? And then you can talk to that person who thinks that it may be too expensive, and you can overcome that. You can justify the price, or however you go about doing it. So that's just a simple way of making the promises and then overcoming objections, and then obviously you want to have a call to action. You say, register now, click the link below, that kind of stuff.
Let's say somebody wanted to write, either they didn't want to write their own sales letter, or maybe they wanted a copywriter to just look over to make sure that they did the right things. What should they look for in a copywriter?
Hiring a copywriter is no guarantee that you're going to fill up your event. Let me just say that straight up. Now, if you have all the pieces in place, a copywriter can multiply the results that you get. Okay, so a good copywriter is a multiplier. I definitely recommend, if it's in your budget, to go with somebody who's got some experience writing for live events. If you're doing something that's smaller scale and you don't have as much money to invest, you might try somebody who doesn't have that experience. But then again, just be careful with who you hire. I always recommend hiring somebody who's got testimonials, and not just one, but multiple testimonials. And when you look at the testimonials, I recommend going with somebody who has testimonials that prove results, specific numbers, certain conversion rates, or increased results by X amount, or things like that. If I were hiring a copywriter, I would be a little bit leery of hiring somebody where they had a couple testimonials and all it was Joe Blow's a great guy. He wrote great copy. You want to see performance-based testimonials, because otherwise, maybe the guy just asked a couple of his friends to write something up for him.
You've given a lot of really good information here, and I'm sure that anybody who is listening to this has got a much better idea on how they can promote their seminar and write the copy for it. But you also offer free consultations on this, and how could someone take advantage of that, and what does that entail?
If somebody is interested in a free consultation, they can go to my website, which is www.philseminars.com. That's F-I-L-L seminars.com. And there's a form at the bottom of that page, and all you do is just type in your name and your email and your phone number and press the submit button. And then that information comes to me. I'll send an email to you to schedule a time to talk. And when we do talk, I'm no high-pressure salesman or anything like that. I just get people on the phone. I ask them what their problem is and what they're trying to do. And we talk about how we can solve that problem, and perhaps there's an opportunity for me to work with that person and perhaps not. Earlier I talked about that lady where really it was best for her to start creating some information products before she ever went the seminar route. So I'm not out to get the business because oftentimes I don't need the business, but I still do these consultations because I like to help people, and obviously some of those consultations turn into clients. So if you are interested in doing a seminar or you're kind of moving in that direction, I suggest going to that website, again, it's philseminars.com. If right now you're kind of more in an exploratory mode, you're not sure that you want to do a consultation yet, I do publish marketing information on a regular basis at ryanhealy.com, and that's R-Y-A-N-H-E-A-L-Y.com. Thank you, Ben.